the law, but then when you add the Word of God and Holy Spirit to it, it becomes amazing. But the law of attraction is actually a scientific experiment where they come up with a law that is just as powerful as the law of gravity, and it's called constructive interference. And it's this: every person emits a frequency from your body. Every one of you. Right now, there's all kinds of frequency in here. You ladies are more sensitive to frequency than men are. You sense frequency when you meet somebody, when you walk into a room, you sense the frequency of that person, and you're very sensitive to that. So the law of constructive interference, it goes like this. If two frequencies on the same wavelength meet, that frequency actually doubles in size. So if I approach Brother Ed and I've got this frequency going on that's way up here, and Brother Ed's got the frequency going on way up here, and we meet, immediately the frequency that we're putting off doubles in size and begins to affect everybody around us. Other people begin to sense that frequency. It's called the law of constructive interference. Now, the opposite of that is the law of destructive interference. And that is when you have a frequency up here and you meet somebody that has a frequency way down here, they actually can't, that the frequency is actually canceled. There's a void. You ever felt a void? You ever walked into a place and all of a sudden feel an emptiness, a void? Come on, somebody. See, the problem is that we have forgotten that we are not judges of the frequency. We are controllers of the frequency. And as the body of Christ, we've got to quit going around just evaluating the frequency. And say, boy, it's dead here. Well, it shouldn't be because you arrived. See, in the natural law, an opposite frequency will cancel your frequency out. But that's a natural law. That's not Holy Spirit. Because you can't cancel Holy Spirit out. If you allow Holy Spirit, he will not allow it to be canceled out, but he will bring that up to where he's at, because we have all authority and all power. We have the power of Holy Spirit inside of us and the Word of God, which is the power and authority of our lives. Now, these frequencies, you sense them all the time. That's why for years I've tried to tell Pentecostal churches that we need to know the difference between adrenaline and anointing. You can feel a frequency, doesn't mean it's Holy Spirit. I walked into Bucky's the other day. I went up to Stratford, Missouri for a prayer meeting, and I thought, well, that new Bucky's is open. I'll just stop and get gas. I pulled in there. There was no parking places. You had to wait in line to get gas. Bless God, all they want your money. If you are excited to go throw money at things like that, don't you ever come back to church and say, well, all they want is your money. because you just happily, joyfully just threw money at something that doesn't even... Woo! Got to cut that off. I pulled into Bucky's. I had to wait in line to get gas. I mean, it's like a gas shortage, brother. I mean, I had to sit there and wait in line. And they have 100 gas pumps. Huh? It's my fault, yeah. I went to Bucky's. I finally got my gas, and I thought, well, I'm going to go inside. I went inside, and I literally stood there. I study humanity all the time. I walked inside, and I stood there like this. I have not felt an atmosphere like that outside of church in a long time. That was the happiest, most excited, joyful bunch of people I have seen in years, and you couldn't even get through the aisles. You had to work your way through the aisles like this, and people were grabbing stuff and getting to the payout counter, and they were getting their wallet out, and they were throwing money. They were, whoa! Here, take some more. I've got lots. Give me some beef jerky. I'm broke. Would you pick all that up? Sister Betty's mouth's hanging open because I never have money. I always give it away. I actually had some. And insurance cards and... Yeah, give it... Hey. Now we... I'm just going to keep this one up here because it's a $1 bill, and if it wasn't George Washington, the church would have went broke years ago. Some of y'all missed that one. Some of y'all missed that one. But I stood there watching. And I was just overwhelmed. The frequency in that place was way up here. And when you walked in, you couldn't help but just feel like, whew, you know, just kind of lift you. And they were excited about caramel-covered nuts and beef jerky and pulled pork sandwiches. And I saw people, they were carrying stuff like this, just packing it. And they were so excited about it. I got me a Bucky's pulled pork sandwich. I never seen such a thing in my life. I come home and I told Betty, I said, somehow Bucky's has created an atmosphere that makes people so happy that the money just literally comes out of their pockets and they're just trying to catch money. Amen. They got catcher's mitts. There's no telling how many thousands and thousands of dollars changed hands just in the time I was there. I want to stand up and say, hey, y'all be at Healing River Worship Center next Sunday. We'll have some caramel-colored nuts. Amen. We can have some beef jerky, too. So excited. What was it? It was frequency. It was the power of natural frequency. And when each person that walked in with anticipation, they walked in with anticipation they were met with a frequency of joy and excitement, and every person that walked in, the frequency in that place doubled. That's awesome. You can experience that in the body of Christ. Amen. There's times that you feel excitement, and I just want to tell you, it's time that we go past the temporary excitement of the frequency of the room, and we go into the frequency of the Holy of Holies and start really feeling the power and anointing of God. Not just a feel-good atmosphere. Not just to leave in church and say, well, that made me feel better. No, but leaving and saying, that changed me. That changed me. Kind of a frequency that sinners can't resist. It's so attractive that they can't do nothing but run to that and receive it from it. A frequency that drives out sickness, disease, and infirmity and causes healing to attach to our bodies. I'm talking about a power that's beyond our natural ability. It's time for the church to get past our natural temporary feelings and emotions and get back into the presence and authority of Almighty God. In this test called the Spain Scale of Emotion, they took 25,000 people, participants, 25,000 participants, and they put them, it was called a Faraday cage. You might know what a Faraday cage is. It's a room that is completely devoid of any frequency whatsoever. There is no 5G going through there. There's no radio waves going through there. There is no frequency whatsoever in this room. And they have these instruments that they put people in there, and they can read the level of frequency coming off that person. And so they started trying the frequency of different emotions. And they literally got to where they mapped out the frequency of anger, the frequency of love, the frequency of jealousy, the frequency of anticipation. They had a frequency scale for every emotion of mankind that you gave out. Amen. You ever been around somebody irritated? What do you feel? You don't even have to talk to them. Man, that's hard on me. I don't know what happened, but I've got the sensitivity of you women. I literally do. I sense and read everything. And me and Sister Betty went to a restaurant the other day, and this one guy come, and she know, everybody say, bless Sister Betty. It's a ride. I'm just telling you, it's a ride. We went in this restaurant, we're standing up there, ordered, I think it's Panera Bread. Every once in a while, I'll take her to one of them foo-foo restaurants. A lot of women like to hang out in, you know. She still hadn't got me to the tea rooms. Nope. Drawing the line. Hey, man. Well, we went to Panera Bread. I am supposed to be standing still. We went to Panera Bread, and I'm standing up there. People, I mean, packed out. Can you believe how many people still in the area? Packed out. All the booths full, everything full, and we're standing up there, and somebody comes in behind me and the hair stands up on the back of my neck, and I turn around. This man and woman walked in, and the minute he walked in, I was so mad I wanted to grab him and throw him right back out the door. I'm telling you, it's a ride. I turned back around and I thought, okay, I don't know what that's about. Calm down. It's okay. Sister Betty's constantly getting my attention. She'll say, Tim. I'll say, what? She said, you're staring. And I'll say, huh? She said, you're looking at somebody like you could kill them. Stop staring. I don't realize I am. But we finally found a booth and sit down and started eating. And wouldn't you know it, these people sit down right behind us. I'm sitting there with my hair standing up on the back of my neck, you know, like a dog. And the longer I sat there, the madder I got. And it's like, God, help me. What in the world is going on? And I even got up once and turned around and looked at him. We finally got ready to leave. And as I was getting up, I turned around and looked at him again. And I thought, son, I want to go back there and grab him by the collar and say, you nasty, narcissistic, controlling, abusive man. I mean, it was just rising up. This guy, I could sense it. He was hateful to his wife. He was, ow. I couldn't take it, you know. That's what I'm talking about. I could feel that frequency behind me. And thankfully, Holy Spirit in me was overriding that frequency because I didn't make a scene. We got out of there, praise God. And the whole way home, I was thinking I should have confronted that. Can you imagine sitting in a restaurant and all of a sudden this preacher comes up to you and starts, I know what you do. I know what you're doing. I've done that. Let's just leave that alone. Woo! Everybody say, praise God. Now y'all's tightening up because you're thinking, oh, he can see it. He can see it. He can see it. Oh, no, he can see it. I'm going to preach like this now. It don't do any good. Anyway, you can hide under the pew. I can still see it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm going to get back up here. But they were able to map the frequency of 25,000 people. You know what the most powerful frequency was that emitted from human beings? Somebody guess. Love? No. Fear? No. Anger? No. Those are all good. You know what the most powerful frequency was? Authenticity. Authenticity. When somebody spoke a truthful statement and believed what they were saying, they emitted the most powerful frequency, four times higher than any other emotion. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. We're the church. We hold in our hands the truth. Amen. We hold in our hands the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. In Acts chapter 6, they said about Stephen, said they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit in which he spoke. What was it? It was the frequency and the power that was emitting from him. Why? Because he was declaring truth that he believed and was convinced of, and they couldn't resist it. See, these natural frequencies are powerful. But you add the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to it, and all of a sudden you've knocked every other frequency out of the park. It no longer has power. Because the power of the Word and the power of Holy Spirit mixed together is a frequency that nobody can resist. The devil can't resist it. People can't resist it. It is an attraction and causes people to be attracted to God. You ever been around somebody you just enjoy being in their presence? That's because they're emitting a frequency that causes you to feel good. They're emitting a frequency that causes you to feel happy, confident. You ever been around somebody that was confident and you start feeling confident? Calm confidence is the absolute greatest thing you can have in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God, to be confident in Jesus, to be confident in yourself. Amen. I told a group of pastors the other day, and Holy Spirit just put this word in me, and I spoke it to them, and I said, look, the greatest freedom that you can ever experience is the freedom from the need to be valued. Because that is the most powerful need in humanity. We need to be valued. Amen. I'm not saying you don't need it. I'm just saying, where's your source? Where's your source? Amen. Colossians 2 and 9 says, and he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. When we're able to receive the value of Christ into our lives, and we no longer need everybody around us to make us feel valuable, then we are literally a force that imparts value to everyone around us, because we're not a vacuum trying to get it. We are a force. We are a fire hose putting it out. Amen. We're putting value out into everybody else. They can feel value. They sense value. They hear value. Why? Because you don't need any. That's hard to comprehend, because the greatest fights that people have in their minds and with friends and with their husband, their mate, is whether they feel valued or not. Amen. Powerful. It's a powerful force in our lives. It's one of our greatest needs. And that's why I say it's the greatest freedom when you no longer have to demand everybody around you to make you feel valuable. Because when you're doing that, nobody can make you feel valuable, because you'll be suspicious of everything they do. If they compliment you, you won't be able to take it. You'll throw it back at them. You'll kick it back. Amen. Why? Because you need it really bad, but you don't trust the source. You don't believe them. Man, how did I get into... I need to turn this over to Sister Joy right about here. Authenticity. What do we need to come back to the body of Christ? Authenticity. Amen. We got to kick the clowns out. Come on, somebody. We got to kick the clowns out. Some of the things I see today passing as prophets and people representing God, I look at it and say, "You, dear God, really? People are really, really?" Some of the greatest prophets you'll ever meet doesn't look like one, and they don't go around trying to tell everybody they are, and they don't go around giving everybody words, but when they speak, you better listen. Getting rough. Amen. We've petted personalities so long in the body of Christ, we don't even know how to be authentic anymore. Amen. I'm tired of being around supposed men of God that they put on a show when they're behind the pulpit and preaching, and then when I'm around them behind the scenes, good Lord, nobody would want to be around them. They're demanding, they're entitled, they're arrogant. They're insecure. They have to protect themselves from everybody. Oh, don't let that person touch me. Oh, nobody, I gotta get me out of good night. I'm trying to be nice. I really am. But I can't stand that stuff. Amen. Just because you walk in anointing doesn't mean you can't be the same in the pulpit and out of the pulpit. Amen. Praise God. If you want to know if a preacher's real, just ask his wife. And if she's honest, you'll get the truth. But most of them are like, "Boy, got quiet in here now." Come on, Sister Betty. They need to ask you a question. Problem is, I get up here and spill the beans all the time on myself. If any of y'all think I'm fun to live with, no. I'm as real as I can be, and a lot of times that is not a good thing. Sometimes Sister Betty's told me, "You're the most stubborn man I've ever known." I'll say, "Honey, I am not stubborn. I'm passionately dedicated." Amen. Now, when she tells me I'm bossy, I'll say, "Now, honey, that's a gift. And I have to operate in my gift." Come on, somebody. Ooh, some of you women are just, I can see the hair standing up back of your neck right now. We just canceled out wavelengths right there. Amen. Oh, my. You are emitting an authority all the time. You're emitting a presence all the time. You got to stop and ask yourself, what kind of presence am I emitting from me? When people get around me, what kind of presence am I emitting from me? Are they guarded? See, a lot of times you meet somebody and you really don't want to, you feel like pulling back. It's because the frequency is way down here and it's pulling yours down. That's natural. But we're people of God. We're full of the Word and full of the Holy Spirit. So anywhere we go, we take control of the frequency. Amen. We're in charge of the frequency. You go to work and everybody's gripey, complaining, you should be able to change that frequency. Amen. Woo, it just got real, didn't it? Oh, that got real. Yeah. You join in on griping about the boss and you just matched frequencies with those people. Amen. Let's give an altar call right here, right now. Amen. Ephesians 6:16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." What is faith? Faith is absolutely being convinced in something. Taking the shield of faith, and you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you are absolutely convinced that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, and He has redeemed you, and the Word of God's inside of you, and you put your faith in that, you have just presented the most powerful frequency known of humanity. I need to read some stuff here. These are some things that God gave me. I'm not going to be able to share all of it with you because some of it I'm still praying about and don't quite know how to present. I'm just going to give you a few of the things that Holy Spirit spoke to me in the last few days. Like I said, last Sunday morning, 5 a.m., my eyes popped open. Not because I woke up, but because I was awakened with a word. I went to bed Saturday night struggling. I was wore out. I was feeling discouraged. And for the first time in this 18-month process, it's been over 2 years. First time I looked at Sister Betty and I said, I don't know, I'm wearing out, I'm wearing down. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm worn down on this thing because it's all starting all over again. But before I went to bed, I said, this abscess is going to be smaller when I get up in the morning, which is medically impossible. Next morning, 5 a.m., my eyes, I am awakened with this. It's time to fight back. Declare the word of God and claim 1,000 healings in the battleground and the spoils of this war. And there were some more, but I don't even know how to present it. 1,000 healings. Can you believe with me for 1,000 healings for 2024? Do you realize we would have to average 2.7 healings a day to have 1,000 healings in 2024? See, this isn't just me. This is anybody that participated in this battle. If you prayed, if you stood with us in faith, we have the promise of 1,000 healings of spoils on this battlefield. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see it start. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Matter of fact, everybody, Kim Patton, if you're watching right now, I rebuke that migraine headache in the name of Jesus. Stop. God, heal this head. Take this pain out of her body, out of her mind, out of her head. Father, I pray for Austin today, suffering with a migraine headache. Oh, God, touch him with your hand. Lay your hand upon him. In Jesus' name, be healed by the power of God. Thank you, Father. Glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I believe we got to get to, tomorrow is the first day of 2024. Hallelujah. You think we can average 2.7 healing? I don't know how you can do 0.7, but you think we can average 2.7 healings a day? I'm kind of moving beyond that, and I'm going to round it up. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we have 3 healings a day? Can we have 5? Amen. Can we have 10? Amen. Get together and believe God, 10 people be healed. Some people come to me and say, well, 1,000 ain't very many. Well, we ain't had 10 healed in the last year. Boy, I brought us back down, didn't I? It's phenomenal. 1,000 healings would be an absolute phenomenon. And yet God is able to do even greater than that. Because if we multiply it, amen, if we multiply it, wouldn't it be something if we come back New Year's Eve 2024 and come back and found out that every one of us had had 1,000 healings in 2024? Amen. See, there is amazing value in that. Not only does it relieve the suffering of people, I know what it is to suffer. Not only does it relieve the suffering of people, but it tells everybody that Jesus is real and that he's Lord. The gifts of the Spirit are not for our manifestation. The gifts of the Spirit is to show forth that Jesus Christ is present right now. He's present right now, sis. Amen. Hallelujah. And he just wants to love on you. Did you know that? What's your name?
Chloe.
I've talked to you before, haven't I? I pick on you a lot when you come here. I think you've been here one other time. Well, it's your turn. Amen. Chloe, Jesus does not like the things that go on inside of you. He's not condemning you. He wants to fight on your behalf. You've been fighting long enough. And you just seem to go in a circle. It just ruminates in you. But Jesus wants to fight on your behalf. He's fighting for you right now by sending me over here. Father, I pray for Chloe right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak to this storm and I say, peace be still. Lord, every wound, every disappointment in her life, Lord God, we thank you for taking the pain out of it today. Pull the pain out today in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to heal her heart. Lord, that the only thing she'll have to remember it by is a few little scars from the battle. Father, I thank you right now. God's changing your frequency right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, bring it up. Bring it up. Lord God, I ask for the frequency to double in size right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that your power, your glory, and your word come alive inside of her like a fire. Lord, that your word burst forth inside of her like a flame of fire. Lord God, that ignites hope and ignites joy inside of her. Lord, that she can feel and know love for the first time in such a way that she's never understood it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Chloe, you don't have to perform for Jesus. You just got to yield to him. You just got to yield to him. He doesn't say, I love you if. He says, I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. What an amazing God. There is a change coming to the body of Christ. The world's going to suffer chaos, but the yielded and obedient are going to grow, going to increase, and are going to know the maturity of Christ. Amen. I'm talking about a change coming in you, for you. Amen. Praise God. I'm not leaving the spoils on the battlefield anymore, brother. Amen. God told me I need to go back and get the spoils that's left on the battlefield. You're some of them. Amen. No more. Cassidy, you're not going to be the spoils of war. You're going to be the harvested of God. Amen. You're being brought into the very presence and power of God. Now I speak to both of you right now in the name of Jesus, that which has stolen, that which has come in to kill and destroy is gone. I break its power over your life in Jesus' name. No more. No more. Hallelujah. You in agreement with me? I'm changing your frequency here. Come on. Hallelujah. Bringing it up to God's. No more will the devil steal from you and beat you down and destroy you because you're not under his power any longer. You're under the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I claim you. Amen. I'm locked on to you, man. Just like my sons. I refuse to give up on them. And I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on Cassidy. This is it. I'm talking, this is it. This is your victory. This is your year. Amen. This is your year to abound in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's time to fight back. Time to fight back and declare what the Word of God says. Amen. When God spoke that to me, let me show you how God, I used this the other day in a prayer meeting. Remember in the Vietnam War, they used the Huey helicopters for the first time to go in and out of the battlefield. Amen. And those Huey, they'd be down there fighting, and they'd hear that pop, 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 pop of those Huey helicopters coming. And those Huey pilots taking on fire. They would fly right into just bullets just bouncing off their aircraft. They would dive right into it with their guns blazing on each side, coming in to defend and coming in to help and to rescue those who were wounded. And they would fly right into the battle and come down and land, load up the wounded and head back out. And many times the pilots would get back and find out that one guy after a day of that got back, and when it was finished, he realized he had been shot 6 times. And we're still flying in and out, rescuing. Oh, it's time that we come become the body of Christ where we stop whining just because we got shot. We stop complaining just because we got in a battle. And we say, oh God, I've been wounded, I've been wounded, I've been wounded. Keep flying, keep flying. There's people to be rescued. Sunday morning, we got... I'm having a time trying to be still. Sunday morning, when God woke me up and spoke that to me, it was just like those Huey helicopters flying in. All of a sudden, I got a call from Pastor Sam Conley, and he started praying for the healing power of God to come upon my body. I hang up the phone. Pastor Bruce calls me right as soon as I hang up the phone. Pastor Bruce calls me, and he's like rapid fire machine gun quoting the Word of God. And saying, this is the authority over your life. This is it. And I hang up the phone. And as soon as I hang up the phone, Pastor Kevin Wright calls me. It was one Huey after another diving in with guns blazing and saying, no, we're going to dive in here. Hallelujah. The church is changing. I need some helicopter operators that know how to dive in. Hallelujah. Me and Rob's awful. Sister Val comes up here and we make her sit there and play for 30 minutes. Next thing God said is pick up the spoils of my people on the battlefields of victory and bring them into the full stature of Christ. There's a lot of wounded warriors out here. There's a lot of people that have not fared well in this battle. And most of their wounds has been friendly fire. It's time for the body of Christ to stop suffering from friendly fire and start being the ones that dive into the battlefield and pick up the wounded and carry them out. Take them to the hospital. Take them to the doctor, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to have to read something that's very strong. And this came with a warning to the body of Christ. And the warning was, do not celebrate at this word, but humble yourself. Humble yourselves. We are not to celebrate at the downfall of people. And in the next year, some of the garbage that's going to be revealed is going to be so disheartening. But we're not to worry about that. Matter of fact, those that will repent, we are to get in our helicopters and dive in and restore. My prayer is that every pastor that has fallen into the fray, every minister, every person in the church that has fallen into the fray of the enemy and become a casualty of war will be resurrected with the fire of God in their hearts and the word of God in their mouths like they've never speak. I want to see them come back preaching the holiness of God like they've never preached before in their life. I'm not looking for their destruction. I'm looking for their restoration. Now, this is a very strong word that Holy Spirit gave me. It says, the whip is returning to my house. My patience has been misinterpreted and my grace has been misused. The purveyors of perversion and those who propagate pedophilia will hear the cracking of my whip and feel the sting upon their backs. In haste I am coming to my house, and in haste I will kick over the tables of the greedy and the self-promoters. Those who have tried to change my visage, and I had to look that word up, it means it countenance, appearance. Those who have tried to change my visage and rewrite my words will be spewed out. I am removing their covering and revealing their hiding places. Humble yourselves, for soon you will hear the crack of the whip in my house again. I asked Holy Spirit, I didn't want to even give that word because I don't want to sound vengeful, hateful. But Holy Spirit is saying that I'm coming back to my house. And I'm going to drive this garbage out. And those that will repent will be restored. But those that will not repent will feel the sting of my whip on their backs as they're going out. And I asked Holy Spirit, I said, Hal, what are we to do? And he said, if you don't want to feel the sting of the whip on your back, stay low. Stay low. I want us to pray because we are entering into a time where it's going to not look like victory in a lot of places, but it's going to be victory. Josiah went into the temple, chopped down all the altars, destroyed them, took them outside and pounded them to dust, and then burned them. I don't know how this is going to happen. I really don't want to be the one that is a part of this. You know what I'm talking about? But God's going to do it. The one thing I'm trying to do is saying, God, I don't want to feel the sting of your whip on my back. God, help me to walk in a right way. Help me to walk humble. And we need to pray that all across. There are ministers that have been heroes of faith. There are people in the body of Christ that have been heroes of faith, prayer warriors, prophets, evangelists, that have been heroes of faith that have succumbed to spirits of perversion. And the spirit of pedophilia has so infiltrated the body of Christ. We can get mad at everybody else, but I want to tell you something. The church has got to get cleaned up first.
And I'm just shaking talking about this. I do not want this. But I want to see God move. I want to see the house of God restored. And this is going to bring growth and increase and maturity in Christ to the body of Christ. Stand with me today if you would. We're going to close this today by praying for the mercy of God upon our brothers and sisters, upon ourselves. If you ever got right with God, you need to do it now. If you got stuff, hidden stuff in your life, playing with the world, if you got desires in your life that are not right, you say, "Well, Pastor, I haven't given in to them. They're there." This is a time to get right with God, because God's serious. When I was writing that word down, I said, "Oh God, I don't want to receive this word. I don't want to say this." But it's not ours, it's His. Amen. It's His. I want us to pray mercy right now. There are some people that are coming under fire today that need the mercy of God. They need to repent. We need to repent. And I'm just going to say this. I know this is bold. But if you've got things in your life that you want to get rid of today, and you say, "God, I don't want you to have to deal with this. I'll bring it to you. I don't want you to have to come in with an axe. I'll bring it to you. And I'll lay it on the altar today." If you can say that, then before we start this next year, I would encourage you to get out of your seat, come down front here, and lay it on the altar and say, "God, here it is. Come on. Here it is. I've already been there. God, here it is. I don't want to play games with you, God. God, I don't want you to have to come in with an axe or a whip into my life. Here it is, Father. Lord, I boldly and openly bring it to you and put it on your altar, Father God. And I ask you to pound it into dust. Carry it out of my temple. Cut it loose from me, Father God. Cut it out of me. Cut this proud flesh out of me, Father, so that healing can come. In the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. I've been in this posture for the last several years because I've been repenting for the things that we missed in the last 20 years, the things that we overlooked, the things that we didn't do that we should have been doing, the things that we let in that we shouldn't have let in. Father, here it is, Lord. Here it is, Lord. Cleanse me now. Cleanse me now, precious Father. Lord, I pray that the fountain of blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins would flow through me right now. Father, I pray for the water, the washing of water by the word. Lord God, I pray, Father God, for the healing, cleansing power of Calvary in my life. Lord God, destroy this enemy. Destroy this thing. I lay it before you.